Greetings, friends. It's good to be back again today. Continuing from last week as we were talking on the scriptures of the adoption of Christ and being heirs of Christ. And we're going to move on today, moving to the fourth chapter of Galatians. And it's speaking of two covenants. And we are to also be talking on the heirs of God. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. So, back in those days, we were living for Satan, and of course lived of the worldly things. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So then, back in the time of the law, it wasn't making the comer there unto perfect. Christ so loved us that he came and came in the form of a man, took upon him the things of this world, suffered the things of this world, that you and I might have the privilege of being a child of God. And when that time had come, he fulfilled the law and the prophets, and then brought forth a way of living, being, as the scripture said, adopted sons and daughters of the Lord. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son then be an heir of God through Christ, howbeit, when we knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and the beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Ye observe days and months and time and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brethren, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. Ye know how through the infirmities of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So then, Paul was talking here to the Galatian people and how that he had labored with them and how for them to receive him, realizing that they're there's two systems of life, and of course there's one system that people serve Satan and serve him and as the scripture teaches, and him alone. And then there's a way of serving God, and of course Paul is a man that died daily to the temptations of this life. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. And I therefore become your enemy, because I tell you the truth. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealous affected, always in good things, and not only when I am present, but with you. Now this seemed to be a people, as Paul was ministering unto them, seemed to be a people that had become a little critical of Brother Paul as he began to preach to them. And, of course, when he first went to them, they really enjoyed him and liked him. But for some reason, he was telling them the truth. Many times people in their hearts and their minds turned upon the man of God when he tries to tell the truth. But we are teaching and holding to a clean way, as Paul did, one that we must live after the Spirit and after Christ. And so at this time now, with the scriptures, we'll begin to take up this two system, law and grace, that coexist. In other words, that man of Satan, as he lives in this life, if God doesn't draw him, he's in a trouble. If a God don't knock at a person's heart, it's so pitiful that the outcome of their life. But then that man of God, one time he's born into the way of God, there's also a nature that worked toward him, naturally an overcoming that he'll have in this life, but Christ is always with him. Now let's move on with the 19th verse, I believe it is. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ, be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was born, or was by promise. Which things are in allegory? For these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gender to the bondage, which is Agar. And for this Agar in Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answer to Jerusalem, which is now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. So then, as we look back over this, separating the two as they were set up in Abraham's two sons, of course, one of them was of God, and the other was under bondage. And so this was written for you and I, understanding that we might understand that there are two lives to be lived in this life, one for God and one for Satan. But this good way is the one that we're trying to bring before you and have you, because every man and woman has the privilege of being born in the kingdom of God. And we many times have been questioned and talked with about people, good people with good moral lives, live moral lives in this life. What would be their outcome? According to Christ, the only outcome would be lost, because a good moral life is not what it takes. It takes the spiritual life that this scripture is talking about. Now let's go on and discuss a little bit more about this life. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolate hath many more children than she which has an husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. So the scripture will uphold this, that Satan is striving to the point that one time he was cast out of heaven, cast down into torment. So this persecution, they will come. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So you see, friends, this separates it right there. There's no way that the bondwoman child and the free woman's child, there's no way that they'll inherit this, have the same inheritance. So then, brethren, we're not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So you can see in this, there is a good way to live in this life. And I'd like to recommend it to you today, as this scripture has talked to you here today and explained to you, and I hope enough that you could understand that there are the two lives and the goodness of God, and that he has in store for you and I. As we talked on it today, and as we've mentioned different times of the two lives, this is the thing that a lot of people don't seem to understand. They seem to think that they can continue to live with Satan and with God. But my friends, as we've just read in this scripture, there is a separation. There must be and must come a separation in your life. And as Nicodemus came to the Lord, as we've talked to you before and read, as he came to the Lord, he asked him, he said, "What shall we do? What can we do to be saved?" And the Lord told him, said, you must be born again. So it's going to take men and women in this life to be born, and they must be born before they can be saved. A good life is not enough. And not only this, I realize that it's not by any works that you could do to become a child of God. I realize that a confession, a repented life, when you come before God and begin to lay down the things of your life, the things of this life, the things of the bondwoman, and lay them down and begin to take up the things, the spiritual things of life, and the good things, the things that would be pleasing to God. When you begin to do this and Christ begins to see this in your life, and if you could just think just a little bit today, and John, as I read in one of our services, as John told you to confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isn't it wonderful today when you look back over the life of Christ? This seems to be one of his greatest battles. It seemed like that it was one of his overcomings, because when he'd heal one, he'd say, "Go and sin no more." He would cleanse them of their sin and advise them, advise them not to sin anymore. And he realized then it would take a clean and upright person to serve God. Thank God today. It's good to have been with you, and we love you, and we hope that you have enjoyed our program. If you're in the hospitals, or if you're confined at home, or if you're in your cars, or wherever you're at, we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know if you're enjoying the program, and like to know if there's anything that we might could do. And if you'd like a prayer from me or from our church or all of us together, I'd be glad for you to write us and let us know how that you've enjoyed the program. Each first Friday night before the first weekend, we have a gospel singing, and we have groups of different places, churches, and different ones come in, and we'd be glad to have you come to our singing. We're located at 1900 Scott Road at Elkwood Section. And then on Thursday night, we have services at 7 o'clock. And on Sundays, we have services at 11, and Sunday night at 6. Now may God bless you. Our time is gone.